Welcome to the Real Turf Techs Podcast, for the technician that wants to get real. Follow along as we talk to industry professionals and address hot topics that we all face. Along the way, we'll learn tips and tricks. I'm your host, Trent Manning. Let's have some fun. Welcome to the Real Turf Techs Podcast, Episode 98. Today, we're talking to Danny McConnell, Technical Sales Support Manager for Bernhard & Company. They have four employees that cover North America market. Danny is one of those guys you meet one time and you feel like you've known him your whole life. Well, I hope you enjoy this episode. Let's talk to Danny. Welcome, Danny, to the Real Turf Techs Podcast. How you doing today?
Good, Trent. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I am too.
For some reason, and I don't know you that well, we hung out a little bit last fall in Texas. But
right.
Just following you on Twitter, I think we have a lot of stuff in common.
Oh, yeah?
Like
what?
Like favorite movies. So
okay.
I'm
curious. Like Top Gun's probably number one, I'm assuming?
No, that's definitely up there. Are you a Smokey and the Bandit fan?
I absolutely am.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, number one for sure. I mean, number two is okay, but they kind of filter down after that. You know what I mean? But,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Burt Reynolds, Jerry Reed. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff.
It's a classic.
We had our member tournament here. It's been about a month ago. And they had a whole concession set up next to the putting green. So I walk up and I say, can I have a Diablo sandwich and a Dr. Pepper?
Nice.
And they, you know, young girls, they're, early 20s or something.
Yeah,
no
way over their head.
No idea.
And I'm in a hurry.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly right. It was fun. I laughed.
Yeah, the bad part about that is I don't think anybody is, the people that get those are a lot less nowadays.
I think, for sure.
You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. just, we're kind of, I guess we're getting older. I don't want to admit it, but I guess
you,
we are.
You said it. I didn't say that.
But yeah, that's right. You're right.
We are getting older every day. Well, tell us how you got into the turf industry.
About, 22 years ago, which is even crazy to me even think about. I was looking for a high school job, grew up in the Midwest, and grew up really just loving the outdoors. So when I heard there was a job that involved that, you know, mm-hmm. working at a local country club, and I mean very local. If you look up Caddyshack, I think it might have been, parts of it might have been filmed there. I don't know. It's the same, you know, the same vibe, the same everything. But I started there in high school as a freshman. And I was probably... 2000. Yeah. So it's been a little while. And I thought I wanted to go on the agronomy route. So went to work there through high school, went to school, got a associate's degree in turf management. And then, did a couple internships. I did one up in, Whistling Straits up in Wisconsin, had a great time with that, landed an assistant job back close to where I grew up, where I was from. And, probably about 3 years in, the equipment manager position came up. And me and the superintendent have a conversation. You know, up there, we'd always tear everything down in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so really every winter, the assistant usually was in the shop with the equipment manager. You know, we'd learn what we could from him and just ripping down reels, tearing down machines, and just getting everything ready for next year. And really, really liked it. I've always had the mechanical aptitude. So I just really enjoyed it. So when the position came up, and honestly, the pay was better than I was at, and you know, it was a smaller operation, so I knew I'd still be on the course at the same time. So mm-hmm. I wasn't completely inside. So I went for it and was there for about four more years at that position as equipment manager. But I will say I was still an assistant too, because on the weekends I changed cups and checked mowers, you know, all at the same time. So I started mm-hmm. to figure out there was an issue with having the background on both of those. People would like to use you for both of those. And of course, they don't pay more for that either, generally.
Right.
So after about four more years of that position, a job came up down in Texas, College Station. It's a place that my aunt lived for years and years. So I was familiar with the area, familiar with Texas A&M, and it was a new course that, or not a new course, but a course they refinished, rebuilt, that was the campus course at A&M. So equipment manager position came up and I decided to go for it. The pay was very well and a lot better than where I was at now. And we were just kind of looking for a different, somewhere that didn't snow or snow as often.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that all those lined up for us. So I went down, interviewed, and ended up getting the job. And they moved me down there, and I was down there worked there for several years. And then after that, I actually ended up being a field technician for Jacobson.
Okay.
So when Jacobson went direct back in, I think it was 2015, 16, I think like that. So when they went direct, at least down in Texas, they were looking for road techs, and I ended up jumping at the position, trying to be something different. Right.
Right. Right.
And it was good. I'll say I learned a lot. I learned a lot of how to think on my feet, how to, you know, get things fixed any way necessary, so to speak.
Right. Yep.
So, I mean, I learned a lot. I met a lot of people, covered a pretty large amount of Texas too. So traveling was quite a bit too. And, ended up working up to a service manager with him. So I had about five guys under me for a little while and still worked in the field and did that for, man, probably until, you know, things just got a little shaky with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I decided to keep or look around just in case. And, I had a sales guy with John Deere that covered me when I was at A&M at the campus course. And he's like, man, you should get in sales. I'm like, man, I haven't sold a thing in my life or my, you know, ever. And he's like, sure you do. You sell service all the time. You know, service is really, you know, how you get sales, right? I mean, you get the sale first, but then service is what keeps it, you know? So after a while I thought about it and I decided to go for it. So I ended up working for Brookside, which is a John Deere dealer here in Southeast Texas. I honestly really liked it. Came in a weird time. I came the year before COVID. I had one solid year, and then COVID hit, and of course we didn't know what to think. And yeah, golf exploded. So ended up being really well, and did that for, I think it was about 2 years, 3 years. And then I saw the ad for Bernhard, and honestly, everything that came up on the job description was what I was looking for. I loved, you know, training aspect. I loved the customer aspect and then the support. I mean, and then a little bit of sales. So it all just kind of lined up, and you know, I went for it, and here we are today. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So a couple follow-up questions to your story. So when you were a kid, Did you like taking stuff apart, putting it together?
I did. I was the one that took everything apart, and then there'd usually be 10 things left after I put it back together, you know? So hopefully we didn't need those things.
Well, you got to modify it and make it better.
Exactly.
That engineer did not know what he was doing.
Right, right. And then I was the kid that when I got a license, you know, I got to, you know, do little tinkering on my truck and, you know, things like that. I grew up somewhat in a farming family too. So my grandpa farmed. So we spent a lot of time in the farm and the tool shed, just tinkering on tractors, lawnmowers, and, you know, all that stuff. So I've always had the, you know, the want and the enjoyment of doing that. So that's, yeah, I think that's what got me into it, really.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I was definitely taking stuff together and, not honestly, always putting it back.
I mean, we're still doing it, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I do think there's less leftover parts now.
There is. Yeah. There's generally none if we're doing it right.
Yeah, exactly right. Tell me, so I talked to, Tommy Ritchie the other day, by my shop, and I shouldn't say I talked to Tommy Ritchie, cause anybody that knows Tommy Ritchie is
you didn't talk at all.
Yeah. I didn't talk at all. We come out of the office and he left, and one of our assistants says, did you get any words in that conversation? I'm like, maybe one.
Probably not.
No. If Tommy hears this, he knows I love him. He's a good dude.
Yeah. He's a great guy. I'm enjoying him.
But he was telling me about some training stuff that y'all are getting going and a school you're starting maybe or something.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, Craig Haldane actually he came on board with us back in towards the end or beginning of the year. And, it's really a separate part of our business, but it's called the Bernhard Academy. And basically what he's tasked with doing is setting up these academies really everywhere. So we're doing it. We got a couple in the UK, and then we're actually working on setting some up here in the States too. And it's going to be one of those deals where we, you know, bring our assistants, bring superintendents, bring equipment managers, and they're going to learn everything there is about managing people, about any kind of topic we want to figure out. Like, it might even have nothing to do with the actual turf industry. And then we'll also put in what we also, like what Chris and I and Tommy do as far as the seminar portion of the real theory and things like that. So that's okay. That's what we're working on right now. But yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think the training thing is just the education. It, we're getting better in our industry, but I just there's obviously more to do, I think. And I love that that's the direction we're heading. I think that's really, really good.
I was really excited to hear that, because I agree there's not enough training out there for equipment managers. And not that there's anything wrong with the local ones we do, you know, on the local level.
Absolutely.
I mean, those are great, but you have one a year or two a year, you know, and it's not, you know, not that it has to be super formal. And then I don't know if Jake's doing anything. I know John Deere has a school and Toro has a school.
Yep.
And, you know, those are definitely worth attending, but still that's one school and you go to it. I mean, last time I was at the John Deere school was close to 10 years ago.
Sure. You know,
and there's been a lot of changes in the last 10 years.
Right.
And
well,
go ahead.
No, I like the idea that we're kind of going, you know, towards other subjects that are important, you know, but in school, I don't think they teach you enough on how to manage people, how to, you know, there's a whole other side to this industry other than just the mechanics and the agronomy and stuff like that. So I think I'm excited that we're kind of mixing that together. We're going to do a little bit of everything. I think it'll be good.
No, that's because how many superintendents have any kind of training on how to manage people?
Exactly. And I think they figure out that might be 80-90% of the job, really. I mean, it's just managing people, right? I mean, everybody, you know, each person's different on your team. So I feel like they're very underprepared for that aspect when they come into the job, right?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And our setup, we got a director of agronomy. So we have two, you know, lower level superintendents, not taking anything away from them. They're still superintendents and they run day to day operations. But every time I see them in the office and they're dealing, you know, with some kind of employee issue or whatever, I say, you thought you were just going to get to grow grass.
That's right.
You know, when you're in school.
Yep.
And that's the easy part, really.
It is. It really is. Yeah. Yeah. Managing people is, I mean, it can be the greatest thing in the world, but it's at the same time, it's difficult too.
I'm not just calling them out. I'm in the exact same boat.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty good at fixing equipment.
Right.
The equipment don't talk back. The equipment don't show up late. You know, all these things that you deal with as a manager. And just like you're saying, if I'm working on, you know, a John Deere 7500, it's a John Deere 7500.
That's right.
When I got three guys in the shop, they're all different. And they all need different things. They all want different things. So trying to make that team environment and grow that, it's a struggle for sure.
It is. And actually to that point, there's I do a little bit with A&M. They have a turf program, and Chase, one of the professors there, he does a class that really has everything to do with turf except turf, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
So he has people that come in, speakers, and they talk about all the other aspects. So when I was with Deere, I came in and taught the guys how to order equipment, like how to, you know, how to deal with a salesperson. That's a lot of things that these guys aren't ready for. And then I'll be this fall, I'll be doing one with, you know, over real theory. I think these guys need to know just as much as you and I do. I mean, you never know if you might be behind a grinder, right? So it's, having that in your toolbox is definitely worth it. So I think it's an idea that's getting bigger, but still needs more work though.
Well, and hopefully, I'm not going to get in trouble for saying this. I don't think I will, but, the Georgia chapter at our annual meeting, our chair, a superintendent that's on the educational committee, he sat through Mike Rollins' class in Orlando, the Carolinas King, and he loved it. And so we're getting Mike to come and talk to the superintendents. And I think that's so good because
absolutely.
a lot of those people do not understand it at that level.
Right.
Yeah, they understand this is a reel, that's a bed knife, but they don't understand much more than that. So the more we can educate those guys, the
better off. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, we are all the way
around. I had that same thing happen to me last fall in Indiana. I was doing a seminar, you know, like we do, and the director sat through it and he's like, man, he goes, I had to have you back for our actual superintendent's meeting. He goes, I think that's stuff that we all need to know. And I mean, it's the same.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we try to invite those guys, you know, when we build these seminars, you know, bring your assistants, bring your superintendent. Mm-hmm. I mean, bring whoever you can. And a lot of times, you know, they don't think it, you know, obtains to them, but it really does. I mean, we talk about everything that, you know, and I think it helps them with the relationship with their equipment manager too, you know, just why we do what we do and why they do what they do and how it comes together. Right.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's, I mean, I'm fortunate that my director of agronomy has a good understanding. He's been doing it for 35 years, so he should, but I do like to go in his office and talk real theory because he gets it. And he is the only other person on property that gets it.
Right.
So, you know, if you're the only one there that gets real theory and what's going on there, you know, who do you bounce ideas off of?
Exactly. Yeah.
So we do have the Real Turf Techs community, and you're welcome to bounce ideas in that group. And there are a lot of knowledgeable people in there.
Yes, there
is. But before, you know, that was started, you know, you call a guy down the road, maybe, you know, I don't know.
Yep. Yep.
So it's nice having somebody on your team that gets it too.
It is. Yep. It does.
What is your favorite tool?
You know, probably years ago, I would have had a better answer for this. You know, because obviously tools are really what we use now is what's in the shop, right? So I would say that my favorite tool right now is that Milwaukee 90-degree impact.
So okay.
The angle impact they got. And I'll tell you why. I did some terms for a few weeks ago at Frisco with Bob Smith. We still don't know what his real name is yet, but we know it's Bob Smith. So, and he's got every Milwaukee thing that you can think of. I mean, stuff I didn't even know that made. I mean, just, and he's got, and he had a couple of these, and I loved it. I wish that if, you know, back when I was in a shop that I don't even know if we had them then, how they were now. I mean, just for adjusting reels, setting things. I mean, it just makes your life so much easier, you know, and really, I'll do two since maybe that one's not, you know, fully, but I know it's been touched on here a lot, but it's definitely your phone. I think there's a lot out there. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, right? There's a lot of stuff out there that can get us in trouble, but there's a lot of wealth of information that we can get, I mean, with the WhatsApp group, like you were talking about, and on Twitter. And I mean, just calling us, you know, calling people that we made the connection with, and just, I think we're all out here to help each other. So I think that's another important one too.
Well, I've said it once and I'll say it again. That's my favorite part about this industry is the community we have.
Absolutely.
And I don't know personally a technician that you can call and they would not help you.
No, we're out here helping each other.
I know a lot too, you know, I mean, we're all kind of in this together.
Right.
And and it don't matter, you know, red, green, blue, orange, I mean, whatever.
No, at the end of the day, we're all trying to do the same thing. I mean, we're just, and really with, you know, these seminars and probably with your chapter meetings, that it's getting these guys together, you know, and figuring out that, you know, this guy was top 10 miles down the road, but I've never met him before, you know, and they they make that connection. And then all of a sudden, you know, if they need help, they can go to each other. It's awesome. Actually, I really enjoy it, you know, seeing these people get together like that.
Oh yeah. And well, and just not long ago, we got a John Deere Walker and they just, it was a demo, but it was really just a used unit that they dropped off and said, here, use this. And I needed a bed knife for it, and we wanted to use it right away. I didn't have a bed knife sitting on the shelf.
Yep.
And so I called Chris Lewis down at East Lake and said, hey, I know he's got those. Like, you got an extra bed knife, you know, I'll get you back. And he's like, oh yeah, come on by, you know. So just little things like that.
Absolutely.
You know, who to call in certain situations like that.
Yep, definitely.
Well, what do you do to relax or find your balance?
I would say, I mean, just any time with my family. I mean, I do a lot of traveling, so when I'm home, it's all about them, you know, and just, you know, my son, baseball, and then, you know, projects around the house with the wife, or we do some traveling as well. I mean, just the normal things, really. I mean,
yeah.
When it's football season, obviously sports, and we do a little fishing, probably not like what you do, but you know, we throw a line in every once in a while, but
all right. Nice.
But
yep. Do you smoke any meat?
So I've been known to every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
Right. Every once, like, you know, maybe every Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. So what was the place we went? Was it like Crazy Eights or it was something?
Yeah, I think it was Crazy Eight. Yeah.
Crazy Eight.
Pretty sure it was.
That was really good.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised. I mean, you know, obviously Texas barbecue is its own. So I'm always interested to see what, you know, I know even in Georgia, it's a little bit different. What, you know, some guys don't like it. Some do. I mean, how we do it here.
Yeah.
I think it's just different, right?
Yeah. I would say here in Georgia, it's kind of a mix between Memphis, Kansas City, and even the Carolinas. Because some places you can go, you can find vinegar-based barbecue.
Right.
But I would say Memphis probably has a bigger pull on it. We don't like it super sweet. I say we as Georgia. I mean, I like some sweet stuff. I got
too.
A sweet tooth. But yeah, some of the stuff you get like Kansas City, it'll rot your teeth out sweet.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But that's definitely how I like my sweet tea. I mean, if I'm not going to go into
you and me both.
Coma, you know, why have sweet tea?
I'm adding sugar to it then.
That's right. Exactly right. Well, what's been your biggest challenge in the industry to date?
I think my biggest challenge, and I don't even know if it's a real challenge, but just, I think trying to figure out more ways to support our industry. I'm in the right place now to do that, but still just trying to, you know, figure out what else we can do. What are other things that we can do to make all of us better? So I think, you know, I don't know if I call that a challenge or maybe just, you know, what I want to do or what my next move is, but that's what's been on my mind for a while now. It's just, you know, how can we do better all together? So.
I love it. No, that's really good. And I had this conversation, actually the episode that's dropping Wednesday with Greg Womble, and he said it really good that, we're really good at getting stuff started and we suck at the follow through. I'm so guilty of that. I have all these great ideas like, oh, I need to do this. I need to do that.
Oh yeah.
But you know, making it happen, that's a whole nother thing.
Two different things. Yep. Two different things.
I'm surprised we're doing a podcast right now.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if it finishes, you know.
That's right. Yeah, hopefully it gets released.
I want to tell you about a great product that I've been using, Task Tracker. Now, I know what you're thinking. Task Tracker is for labor. But I'm here to tell you it's also an easy-to-use equipment maintenance platform. Employees can scan QR codes and send notes about the condition of equipment, and the equipment can be assigned to employees, making them more accountable. I encourage you to reach out to Jamie and Gerald, the founders of ASB Task Tracker, at asbtasktracker.com to schedule a demo and see how easy the platform is to use. Again, that's asbtasktracker.com. Let's get back to the episode.
What, do you have a mentor in the industry or some people that mentored you in your younger days?
Yeah. I mean, I would say at, you know, my younger days, I had a couple superintendents that kind of, and honestly, they were mentors, but also I feel like they taught me not how to live life, if that makes sense. I mean, I started with a lot of old school superintendents that were, you know, several wives through their, you know, with different marriages and, you know, the old school of just living life at the golf course, you know, so that kind of taught me there's gotta be a balance, right? There's gotta be some separation from the course. But also, I mean, they all supported me on moving on too. So I never had anybody that, I mean, of course they wanted me to stay, but at the same time, they, you know, they wanted me to improve, and they're all still contacts now today and still people I keep in touch with. But, as far as on the mechanic side or on the equipment manager side, not really. I guess I just respect everybody. And so I learn, and what's cool about my job now is get to spend so much time with equipment managers everywhere. Right. I mean,
yeah,
anywhere from Florida to California to anywhere in between. So I feel like in a way they're all mentors to me because I get to learn a little bit how they do things and, you know, how they're different than each other. And that's probably the best thing or what I really enjoy. So yeah,
I could see that. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, spending so much time with different people and, you know, we're all doing the same thing. We all do it a little bit different.
Yep, exactly. It's neat. It really is.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. I'm a little envious of that aspect.
Well, it's nice because if I ever miss the shop, that's enough time for me. I spend, you know, in the shop and then, you know, they have a breakdown. I'm like, all right, guys, I'll see y'all later.
That's right. Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, for the listeners, go volunteer too. If you got an opportunity to volunteer to a course, a tournament, whatever. I mean, even if it's somebody's member guest tournament, the guy down the road or whatever, go, you know, go help them out because you'll get way more out of.
Absolutely. There's a lot of value out of it.
Yeah. Than what you put in for sure. Well, what would be your dream job or opportunity? Are you living it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think this is where I want to be and what I want to do. So yeah, I think I'm there right now. So
I think
it's been said by a lot, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Oh no, it's all good, man. Yeah. Do you have a technician you want to work with for a day?
I wouldn't mind working with you.
Oh, come on. Yeah. No, you're welcome to. You got
it.
Yeah, anytime, man. Come on by for sure. Yeah, if you're ever in the Georgia area, I know Chris usually.
He's usually over on that side. I'll have to catch him on a vacation or something.
You need to tell him to go on vacation and you can come to Eastlake.
There you go.
Hang out with us.
I know. Well, you told me how much fun that one is. I don't think he'll ever give that one up.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a lot of fun. For sure.
But no, I mean, I get to work with so many that I know online and offline. I think I'll get to work with them all hopefully at some point. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully so.
You know,
what do you know now you wish you'd known on day one?
That change is okay. So I've done a lot of change in this career. I don't think I ever would have thought I've done or would end up where I'm at now from where I started. And, you know, when I first started or, you know, got into my first job or a job after school, rather, you know, you thought that was it, right? That's where you were going to stay just like everybody else there 30 years and that's it. But, you know, I think I've learned now that change is okay, that it's, you know, okay to want more or maybe go after more or, you know, just do more for yourself and others too. So I think that's what I would say change.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's awesome. And I can definitely relate because, you know, when I got into this, I started on the crew and worked my way up to head mechanic. And I was too young, honestly, to be the guy in charge and thought I had it all figured out, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And I got bored. I thought, you know, oh, I got this figured out. You know, this ain't no big deal. And I mean, I didn't know half of what I know now and I still ain't got it figured out, but, moving on and doing some different things has helped me so much. And going back to the golf course and doing the exact same thing. I shouldn't say the exact same thing because we do it a lot different now.
It's different now. Yeah.
I was doing it in the mid 90s. But at the time that's all I knew. And I thought, this is it. No big deal.
Right.
But when you really start getting in the rabbit holes and figuring some of this stuff out or trying to figure it out, it can still stay fun and entertaining.
I agree.
You got any advice on how you deal with that person in a positive manner?
Kill them with kindness.
Kill them with kindness?
Yep, yeah. Yep. I've always, I don't think that's how I was raised, but I will forever be known as a person that'll smile till the end. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that just, you know, and if they don't, you know, even if that doesn't work, it, at least you know that you tried, right. That you, that was, you know, your attempt. I just don't ever get to their level, you know, just Just try to stay above it, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Easier said than done for me personally, but
it is.
yeah. But some people can do that.
Right.
And yeah, I try, but I don't, sometimes it just doesn't come across that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get ready for tips and tricks.
What kind of tips and tricks you got you want to share with us that you've seen over the years?
I think the tip I've seen a lot lately is don't be afraid to lean on your distributors, right? So don't be afraid to, you know, if you have issues, actually reach out to them, because you'll be surprised what they actually will do for you. I've heard, you know, I've seen a lot, especially in the last few years, there we're just quick to blame, but we never even tried to talk to them, right? Try to work with them. Mm-hmm. So I think, trying to just, and maybe that goes back to the tool thing too, with your contacts, but just try to, you know, reach out to people for help instead of either putting it to the corner or just, you know, striking it off to an issue. Maybe just work with them. So I've seen that a lot lately, just especially, you know, having the opportunity myself to work with so many different distributors too at the same time. I mean, mm-hmm. they all want to help people just like everybody else. They want to be a part of the, how to solve the issue, how to solve the problem. So don't be afraid to call people. I don't know if that's a tip or not, but
no, I think
that'd be my tip, you know?
Yeah. Whatever. If it's a tip or not, but that's right. Really good advice for sure. And whether it's a distributor or somebody, you know, in the industry, I mean, like we were talking earlier, we're all willing to help you out.
Absolutely. But
those distributors have so much more resources than most of us do.
They do.
Whether it's John Deere or Toro or Jake, whoever, they can call and talk to somebody that knows.
Right.
And you probably can't call and talk to them directly.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I worked for the Toro distributor for a couple of years, and all the guys that I knew at Toro for the most part are gone. I still know a couple of them, but you know, unless you have somebody like that in your contact, you got to work through your distributor.
Absolutely. But
they have those resources. They can open cases up on issues you're having. And not only are you going to help yourself, but you might help some people down the road. Cause when I worked for the Toro distributor, that's the way it was. Once they got so many cases, that's when they would come up with a recall or rework or whatever you want to call it.
They can't fix it if they don't know, you know, there's anything wrong with it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Exactly right. And I remember, me and Corey Phillips, we were calling each other all the time and saying, oh, I'm finding this on a 3150, you know, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
And we've covered under warranty because, I mean, we're wanting to help the customer out. We don't want that to fail, you know, 6 months after it goes out of warranty. Let us fix it now.
Yep. Yep.
And sorry, Toro, let you foot the bill. You know, I mean, this is kind of part of it.
Right.
What's the strangest thing you've seen at work on the golf course? Any good stories?
I mean, you were a road tech, so I'm sure you've seen a lot of interesting things too, but I had a call, I think it was probably when I first got into the field tech world. A guy took a delivery of a new triplex, and he's about 4 hours south of my house. So as far as my territory went to the south, and, got a call, got a thing put in that his machine just quit out on the golf course. And we're, you know, since it was just delivered, we're going to scramble and try to figure it out. You know, so we did a little bit of diagnosing over the phone and figure out there's a no start issue, just like that. We get down there, or I get down there, and it's out of fuel, totally empty. And I asked the gentleman, I go, you're out of diesel. And he's like, well, I can't be. And I'm like, why not? He's like, well, my other one used to make it this far. I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, I can mow this far and not be out of diesel or out of fuel yet. He goes, so that can't be right. And I go, well, you are. So, I mean, and from then on, I've kind of learned, you know, or especially during those times, what questions I ask people, right? I mean, what, even if it seems like a dumb question, they're going to fight you on it. Like, you got to start the basics, right? Don't overthink it. You know, blown fuse. Yeah. I mean, fuel. I mean, anything like that. It's, you name it.
Yeah, I kind of, I guess, developed a spiel I would give whoever I was talking to at the course of, you know, we have to check this, and, you know, I know it's probably got gas in it, but we, you know, we need to check.
Got to start. Yep.
This is just where we got to start. And I've had this happen before. People run out of gas, and, you know, so try to make them not feel as bad.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you got to start there with the basic stuff. And
absolutely.
I say that, and I'm still guilty when a Flymo comes in sometimes, and I pull on it three or four times, and I say, let's see if it's got gas in it.
Right. I think we're always guilty of overthinking it, right? Always looking at the worst possibility and then going backwards. But that's why I like it. This industry humbles you, though, too, at the same time.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, I've personally been working this last year on not talking down to myself like I have pretty much my whole life with negative talk. And sometimes it's really hard at the golf course.
Absolutely.
You know, because you do get humbled so much from time to time. But anyway, you made me think of this story, and I don't remember if I've told it before or not. But we had this young kid, and he was probably 20, and he's on his knees in a golf cart reaching into the bed. And I pull up, I'm like, what's going on? You having some issues? Nope. Like, and he had a backpack blower in the back of the car. I was like, is there something wrong with that blower? And nope. I'm like, well, what are you doing? You know, I'm trying to figure out what this kid is doing. And he said, it won't take gas. And I said, what do you mean it won't take gas? I don't understand. And he said, it won't take gas. So, and he has two gas cans. One of them's completely empty, and the other one's got a few ounces of gas in it.
Right.
And so I take it out, and I turn it up, and the gas starts coming out, and it's going into the blower. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you had to turn it up that far. So this kid is 20 years old, and he does not understand gravity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's scary.
It is.
You can get that far.
Yeah. That's the question. I mean, was he lucky that he didn't need to know that till now, or not?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. And I mean, I think we could take any technician, no matter how long you've been in the industry, and they would understand the concept of gravity.
Yeah, I would think.
It's just amazing. Yeah, I had one kid, just think of these stories though. He pulls a gator into the shop, parks it, and gets on another gator. So I like, chase him down. I'm like, is there something wrong with that gator? He says, out of gas. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. We got a guy for that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, some of the stuff.
It's amazing how, you know, you think you've seen it all, and then the next day it just, no, haven't seen it all yet.
No, not yet.
You know, I had a kid that, so what was cool about A&M and being at the campus course, we had a lot of college kids that worked there. So we got to experience a lot of interesting young men and women, and mm-hmm. where they were in their life in their 20s. And every day was a new day for them, even if they were there for 6 months. And I had a kid come in one time, and he's like, hey. He goes, I got something wrong with my, we had 220Es, and he's like, I got something wrong with my walk mower. I go, what's going on? He's like, well, I'm not getting any grass, and it's extremely fast. Like, he goes, it's faster than I ever remember it being. I'm like, okay. So he left it on the hole. So we went out there, and I go, show me what you're talking about. And he starts, and sure enough, he's mowing with the transport tires on, and he is sprinting to keep with it, you know, and we take the tires off. It's like, oh yeah. I'm like, man, and the thing is, you can't get angry. You know, you can't get upset with that. I mean, it's not going to fix anything, right? Just chalk it up to, you know, another deal. But, I had another one come in one time, and I think the superintendent was out that day, and he was filling in a job application. And two things surprised me. One, he didn't know the social security number. You know, his mom knew it, but he didn't know it. And the second thing was there was a portion to write in how long you've been at your current address or at this current address. And he put in 10 minutes. And he was talking about where he was at that moment. You know, so that's not even golf related, but still, I mean, you just never know what you're going to see.
no, you don't. And I had this conversation the other day I was really fortunate to, I think anyway, to grow up in a rural part of North Georgia.
Yep.
And, you know, I grew up, you know, I didn't grow up on a farm, but my best friend's dad cut all the hay in our area. So I got a lot of experience being around some equipment and trailers and trucks and, you know, all those things. And most of the kids that we hire now at the golf course, I mean, no idea on, you know, any of that.
No. And it's amazing that, I mean, first time using a weed eater or a mower or anything. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. So, you got to start real basic.
You do.
On all the training thing. And I do think that is a very important aspect to any golf course maintenance operation is the training program.
It is.
And the more time you spend with the individual working on it, coaching them, helping them out.
Yep.
The better off you're going to be and the better off your equipment's going to be.
Yep. Well, I think it makes that relationship too, where they're not going to be maybe as afraid to come to you with issues too. So, I mean that, you know, I'm sure you've had it happen to you and it happened to me so many times. Next morning there's machines put away broken, you know, they don't want to tell you, you know, and that, you know, we need to know obviously to fix it, but I think that helps, you know, that they maybe feel more comfortable than, you know, you know, depending on what it is, you might need to bring some donuts in tomorrow, but we'll figure that out. But
When I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, "Oh, did you know about this on the roller?" I'm like, if there's anything that's not working like it's supposed to, I don't know about it.
Right.
And even, maybe somebody told me 3 weeks ago when I was in the middle of something and I didn't write it down or, you know, put it in the computer or whatever. That happens all the time too.
Yep.
So just keep bringing us those information.
Yep.
And we'll eventually get it fixed because I want 100% of my equipment to be 100% right or efficient.
Yep.
And even though that is hard this time of year, that's how we want to run it anyway.
Right.
Well, you ready to do some rapid fire questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We already kind of covered this, but what's your favorite movie?
Top Gun.
The first one or the second one?
I knew you were going to ask me that. I'm going to say Maverick. I'm going to have to say it.
Yeah. I agree. I saw it too. And I love the first one and all the 80s nostalgia stuff.
Right.
It was cool. But this last one was really, really good.
I don't think there's a sequel that's ever been like it. Like they completely did it justice. I mean, it's good.
What would be your last meal?
I'm going to go basic and old school, but reverse seared steak and potatoes.
Okay. All right. I love it. No, nothing wrong with that. Any day of the week.
That's right. I have a lot of last meals, apparently.
What are you most proud of besides your family?
I would say probably just where I'm at right now, career-wise. I'm really proud of, you know, just where I'm at, but also what I try to do for the industry, what I do to try to help it or try to make it better or just be a part of it in any way. So I think, I'm proud of just being part of this awesome industry. I thoroughly enjoy it. So it might sound corny, but
no, man, it's not. And I don't know why I'm going to say this, but, you know, growing up as a kid, I was taught that you had to be somewhat macho, you know, not necessarily my dad, he wasn't necessarily macho, but I mean, he would definitely look down on me if I cried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about anything, you know, and I'm five years old, whatever, you know, quit your crying. I'll give you something to cry about, you know, all those things. And I think that has really changed over the years.
It has.
And people are a lot more acceptable to others.
Yep.
And so, I don't think anything's corny. It's the way you feel.
Right.
And, I mean, it's the way I feel too. I'm so proud of this industry. And I'm proud of, you know, the community that's come together of technicians.
Yep, I agree.
And how, you know, we're helping each other. I just want to see it keep growing and getting better and better.
I do too.
And, you know, your help and, I mean, everybody, you know, is a part of that.
Yep.
You know, it's not one of us that's making it all happen.
Definitely a group effort. Definitely a group effort.
Yeah, for sure. So, no, I appreciate you saying that for sure.
Thank you.
Well, you want to tell the listeners how they can get a hold of you?
Say Twitter's probably where I'm at the most. It's BCO DMAC, which is Bernhardt and Company, and DMAC was my high school nickname. Okay. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, go there. I can give you my email, but it's quite long. So
I can send you a DM for sure.
Yep, absolutely.
So did you play football growing up?
No, actually baseball and basketball. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Baseball guy. All right. Just curious. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I've been asked that because I have a build for it.
Yeah. Well, that's, not that I'm calling you out, but yeah.
And if I grew up in Texas versus Illinois, maybe I would have played football a little bit more, but mm-hmm. yeah, where I was from, it wasn't the first sport like it is here.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't have stood a chance in Texas. I was like, all right, you're going to be guard, tackle, something.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, it was like eighth grade. I was probably 8 years old and I was too big to be a running back. So I was
really
on the line. Yeah. They had a weight room. I think it was like 125 pounds. If you were over that, you had to be a lineman.
You're automatically on the line.
Yeah. You're automatically on the line. I was a little fat kid. But I really
husky
football.
Mom said I was husky. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. That's good stuff. Thanks so much, Danny, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Trent. Absolutely.
It's been a blast, and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you so much for listening to the Real Turf Techs podcast. I hope you learned something today. Don't forget to subscribe. If you have any topics you would like to discuss or you'd like to be a guest, find us on Twitter @RealTurfTechs. See you, bye.